spend time talking about reading about it and just walking that ground, that most holy ground. Ground that has been soaked in blood, spilled by martyrs. And we don't have to go too far back. Bringing us modern days. Just typing the word martyr into Google brought up so many things, and it brought up this one page from the website of the Southern Poverty Law Center. And it has a page of martyrs of the civil rights movement, 39 from 1955 to 1963, including four little girls whose only crime if they were martyred for was to go to Sunday school that day. So I'm not sure what's concluded when you walk this holy ground. Because we look back and we study now this seal and what happens and what John sees from a place of relative safety, from a place of relative safe and relative skin, and seemingly safe for now in cause and effect, living in a nation and a country in which we do. And to think that there have been thousands upon thousands upon thousands up until now. So you would see why, in the midst of this vision, looking at history and the present day and the future of the Christian church, why there would be a seal dedicated to martyrs and what John would do and what a role they would play in the church. So we come to the most profound passage in the book of Revelation. Extremely profound, considering who it addresses and who it speaks of and why. But it isn't an easy passage. It's not an easy one to figure out. It's not an easy one to exegete. And it's certainly not an easy one to swallow and to digest. So we take a look at Revelation 6, verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slaughtered for the word of God and for the testimony they had given. I want to begin by saying before, as I said with others, this is clearly symbolic. It's impossible to take this literally. Souls under where? Under the altar. Under the altar. You can't take this literally. Which altar are we talking about? In the sanctuary that we know of, there were two altars, the one in the outer court and the one in the holy place. The incense altar would be in the holy place, not in the outer court, but in the holy place. Remember that the heavenly sanctuary doesn't include the outer court, because the outer court represents the earth, by the time we get to Revelation. The heavenly sanctuary represents the transaction that takes place at the altar. The altar in the outer court, what took place there? The sacrifice. The sacrifice for what? For sin. Sin offering, guilt offering, the daily offering. It all takes place in the outer court. Now, you don't think that this is symbolic. Think about this. If you don't think it applies to the earth, what's the only place in all of history that needs sacrifice? Us. What's the only place in all of the universe, in all of creation that needs sacrifice? The earth. The earth is the one place that does not fall under the land that was slain jurisdiction. Remember? All the universe is holy, holy, holy. Is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy, worthy is the land that was slain. They all were is it particularly brutal? Because they don't deserve it. They're innocent. They don't deserve to be killed for what they're doing or what they're saying. The same with the sacrifice. A little lamb. A little goat. A little ram. It's brutal, isn't it, that they should die for the sacrifice of a human. There's a brutality to it. And these what? Revenge. Like, it means revenge. But actually, the word is in Greek. The word simply is to come to a judgment to deliver some form of justice. You only find this about six times in all the New Testament. Three of them refer to that parable that Jesus tells about the man who went up and goes to the judge. Right? Why did the judge finally give in? Did she get mad at you? He finally said, how long is this woman going to mad at me? I better deliver some judgment here. Give her some justice. That's simply all it means. It doesn't mean to take revenge or to avenge. It simply means to come up with justice. Righteous judges don't let injustice go on for too long. What do we do? See, because all this happens through a level of silence from God. Even people who believe, they look at this world sometimes, and it gets so hard, and it gets so difficult, and even we question as to whether or not God is silent. We stand in the Job and say, what in the world? All that's happened to you, you say what? Nothing. So it gets hard. It gets hard to be in front of the silence. So what we do is we call for revenge. We call for revenge. In a way, it's our cry. How long? It's not the martyrs' cry. Martyrs are what? Martyrs are dead. Their cries are loud. And it's supposed to be kept alive by us. But sometimes I think we're crying the wrong thing if we're crying for revenge. Because we want vengeance. How many remember the Sabbath immediately after 9/11? It's tough.